Well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. I met Pastor Coffey, as he said, about 20 years ago, and I just have had a wonderful fellowship with him through the years, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to come and to bring the Word of God to you this morning. Now, our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 to 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all of the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this morning. Now, this morning I want to bring this message from 1 Thessalonians. Little background. The Apostle Paul and Silas, led of the Holy Spirit, went to Thessalonica to preach the Word of God there. Now, the story of that is given to us in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And you can read that and see what kind of reception they had as they brought the message of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to that city. The reaction was mixed. Some of the people in the community, the pagans, the unbelieving, they welcomed the message. Some of the religious people welcomed the message. But at the same time, others were resistant and did all they could to silence their testimony, even unto persecution, and report them to the authorities and to get them out of there as quickly as they could. So the battle was there immediately. Now, Paul went into the synagogues and he preached in the synagogues three Sabbaths. And there some believed. Others did not. And they brought together the believers into Jason's house. And in Jason's house, he preached and he brought instruction to these new believers that they would follow Christ and know indeed that he was the Savior of the world, the Messiah that was promised. But the persecution increased and it became more intense, so that the Holy Spirit led Paul and Silas to leave Thessalonica and to go on up to Berea and Athens and Corinth to preach the word up there. And Timothy was summoned to come back to Thessalonica and to continue the ministry and to continue to disciple the people there. And so he did, and the church flourished. It went on. More believers were coming all the time as the Holy Spirit worked amongst them. Now, why this great response? In just 1 month, the Holy Spirit was moving in a powerful and a mighty way. Some Jews believed, yes, some devout Greeks, and the text tells us here that many women believed as well. And God thought it was important to put in there many women. They believed as well there in a man-centered society. Now, I think that verse 5 tells us why the response was so great in Thessalonica. Now, brothers, we know, loved by God, he has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And that's where the word of God should come. And when it is brought forth in power and in the Holy Spirit, God works with those messages, whether given one-to-one in personal witnessing or from a pulpit or over the radio or the television, whatever it may be, when the power of the Holy Spirit is upon it, it accomplishes the works of God in the lives of those who are called. Continues today, everywhere around the world, here and elsewhere. And when they believed, they believed with deep conviction. It touched their hearts, and they believed, and their lives were changed. Now, Paul gives thanks to God for the report of Timothy, that after he went back there, continued the discipleship of the people, he got back to Paul, and he told them that the work was effective. It was continuing. The disciples were moving on with the Lord. And he gives thanks to the report of Timothy that this has taken place. In verse 3, it tells us here that we continually remember before our God and Father your work, two things, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at those three things, your work of faith. Now, faith which dwells in us will manifest itself in works of love, mercy, and kindness. The Apostle James explains that to us quite clearly in his letter. And James says that faith without works is dead. I mean, many people will say, well, I have faith, but nothing ever changes. I was brought up in the church. When I was just a little boy, about 4 or 5 years old, I was always in the church. I mean, I had faith. Well, there was no works, some kindness and things like that, but there was no evidence of the faith that I said. And many people, churches are filled all over the world this very day. And people say, we believe, we have faith. They come through Christmas, they believe everything about Christmas. It makes no difference in their lives. Once they leave on Sunday and for the rest of the week, they control everything in their life. God's word doesn't make a difference. It's what they want to do. And James says, faith without works is dead. By the same token, he says, works without faith is dead also. And especially at this time of year, we see it in many wonderful ways. Great companies of people, various kinds of organizations give time and wonderful effort in preparing meals for the homeless people and getting clothing and other things that they do to show the love of kindness, particularly at this season. And people give all over our country, give multiple millions and millions of dollars to such organizations to help people to have a wonderful Christmas. This is good. This is wonderful, and this is kind, and thank God for it. People go into our prisons and share their Christmas story and do what they can in the prisons. And this is wonderful. But for many, it's a seasonal thing. It's not motivated by saving faith. It's the goodness of their heart. And James says, those works, fine. But without faith, they're dead. Our faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And Paul tells us what they did there. It says in verse 9, it says that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now that is repentance. And the Greek word for that is metanoia. And the word metanoia means to change your mind. And that's where repentance comes from. We're going along in our life. This is what happened to me. I expect that it happened with you as well. We're going along in our lives, and we see how things are, and we're going in a certain direction. We're confronted with the gospel. The Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, and I'll speak for myself. I was going in the wrong direction. I had testimony. I'd give words and various things in my life that would indicate that I was a religious person, but I wasn't. I may have been religious, but I didn't have saving faith. And so it was necessary to have repentance. So you're going along a certain way, and then you change your mind based on the word of God that you hear and the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. You change your mind and you put your faith in God. And you resist the sin. You put away the old ways. You put away the old man and you put on the new man in righteousness. The righteousness and the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's what they did. And they did it in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit with them. And that's why so much was accomplished in just 1 month. And continued from there to build up the church in Thessalonica was a wonderful church. It was a church with praises of God for their great work there. Now, the next thing is they had labor that was produced by love. Now, the labor that they were doing in the church was produced by the love of God and the love of others that God had put into their hearts. And the love of Christ moves our service to obey him and reflect his love. We love of others because we see that Christ died for their sins. Christ died for our sins. He redeemed us. We became new people in him, and we want that for others. Our families, our friends, neighbors, people we work with, whatever it may be, we show our love in that way by the labor that we do. And I think of this Christmas season that we're still part of the holiday season, but the Christmas just completed. And I remember in my particular family what it was like at Christmas when we were growing up. Various people would come to the house and so on. And the women would all be in the kitchen working, getting the meal together. And the men would all be in the living room watching the football game. And with the various family members that came, there were certain dynamics, some positive, some negative. And I think that probably happens with others as well. And I can remember certain Christmas times that various things took place. And the women, particularly the woman of the house, I would expect that maybe afterwards she'd say, I'm not doing this again. I can't do this. This is too much. And we worked so hard to put all this together, and look what happened, the way Sally acted. Look at the way Harry was carrying on. I can't put up with this anymore. Well, that's understandable. You worked so hard and your heart was in it to have it all together. But then after a few days, listen, no. It'll always be that way. Because we love family. We love them all. And we will be committed to this because it comes from a heart of love. From a heart of love. And it's not determined whatever we do in our works of serving others and doing the work of Christ to help others. When we're rejected or whatever takes place, we do not back off. We do it because it's the call of Christ upon our lives. And we do it for His sake. We do it according to the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us. And all of us have spiritual gifts. And God blesses our carrying out His purposes using the gifts that God gave us. I remember many, many years ago, there was a book written by a well-known Christian writer. It was called 19 Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I had been a Christian a while. I didn't realize it was 19, but he laid them all out with all scripture references and so on. 19 Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he said that every believer has at least one gift. Many have many more than that as well. They have the gifts of the Spirit, which was laid out for us in Scripture. And it's up to us to find the gift that God has given to us. And to use that gift in the life of the church, in our family, in our community, in our workplace, whatever it is, to show forth the love of Christ using the gifts that God has given to us. And these gifts are multiplied and fully involved here in the church, in Fairlawn Church, and the other church as well. And you need to find out what God's gifts are to you, and then you use them for His glory and for the unity and for the love and the mercy and the care of all the believers here in this place and in your family and in your community. And God is glorified by that, and His word is set forth, and others see Christ in you and in me. And they examine themselves, and some will come and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says further that there is an endurance of hope. This is a theme of Paul throughout his writings, is the great hope that we have in Christ. And not only is the hope here for this time when we're on this earth, the hope that God will answer our prayer, that God will help us, that God will keep us from evil, those things. But also, it is the hope of the return of Jesus Christ in power and great glory, which is spoken about throughout the Scriptures. And it is significant that there is far more written regarding the second coming of Christ than there is about His first coming, as we have paid attention to in these last weeks and so on with our Christmas remembrances and giving joy and all of that is as we ought to do. But far more is written about the return of Jesus Christ. And I should say far less spoken about than certainly Christmas or some of the others as well. But Jesus Christ has promised to come back. And that played a important part in my life because I was brought up in the church. Our family tradition was Roman Catholic, and we were always in church on Sunday. And I had 16 years of Catholic education. I was never in a school that wasn't a Catholic school. And so I believed all of these things, and talk about that. The Apostles' Creed, three, four times a week or more, I would say the Apostles' Creed. It says, He will come again to judge the living of His dead, and of His kingdom there will be no end. So we always believed, certainly, that Jesus Christ would come back. But He will come back at His appointed time. There's nothing I can do to have it come sooner or to postpone it. And that was my attitude. And I was working for a man. He was my sales manager, and he was a committed Christian. And he would talk to me about, he shared the gospel with me many times, and I affirmed it. He was my boss. I wanted to keep my job. I told him that I agreed with everything he said. I would get it. And he says, "Your life doesn't show that you're a Christian." Well, I says, maybe so, but I said, "You're more passionate about it than I am, but you know, I'm a Christian too." And a time came when it was the occasion of the Six-Day War with Israel back in the 60s. And I had a great interest in that because I knew that God had a special place for Israel. Not so much of the church, but other ways I knew that as well. And I just believed that God was going to do something, that Israel would not be destroyed. And so I was watching that. And when I saw all that took place, it just energized my thinking again of spiritual things. And regarding the return of the Lord, I began thinking about that. And my friend, my boss, was telling me more about it and about the signs of the times and all this. And then regarding Israel, he was telling me that Jesus said in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 and 2 Timothy, and he's quoting all of these things. And he's quoting all these scriptures about the return of the Lord. And I said to myself privately, "I've never heard that." Here I am, all of these, the time when we had Bibles, we read from the Bible. I never heard of all of this. What do you, I'm saying to myself, what's he talking about? And I remember being home one evening there, and I said to myself, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "You don't know what you're talking about. You've never even read the Bible once in its entirety." Here I had 16 years of Catholic education. I never read the Bible once. Completely. I mean, I had plenty of weird readings all the time from the Bible. Here, there, familiar with the stories and so on. Yes, indeed. But I never read it once. And I started reading. I went and bought my first Bible. I was 28 at the time. Bought my first Bible. And I started reading the four Gospels. My eyes were opened about a lot of things. About a lot of things were my eyes opened. And one of the things that my eyes were opened was about the return of the Lord, the second coming. And I began to look at those things and to see how plain and clear they were. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "If Jesus were to return tonight, what would happen to you?" And I says, "I'm damned. I'm lost." Whatever I said. I'm not going to heaven. So I probably said something equivalent. "What must I do to be saved?" And I think the Holy Spirit said, "Read on. But also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I read on. I read all four Gospels. And then I did something that people would say you never should do if you don't know, if you're a new Christian seeking. I read the book of Revelation. So you'll never understand anything in the book of Revelation. I read the entire book. And it is true. Most of it I did not understand. But one thing I did understand clearly was that Jesus Christ was coming back for the just, the righteous ones, the ones that were forgiven, and the ones who were ready and looking for his appearing. And I was none of those things. And it was through those things that I called upon the name of the Lord, and here I am today. Bless His holy name. Through the Word of God is rich and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I thank God that His second coming was what brought me to Himself. Another short story that I'm going to complete. My cousin, I have a niece who lives in San Diego, and she and her husband have a lovely home there. And several years ago, there were fires all around that area. And the authorities called them on the phone and said, leave your home. The fires are proceeding. They had burnt out miles and miles of land. The fires are heading towards your home. And they spoke to me about it afterwards. And they said, you know, when you get a message like that, what do you take with you? All we had was our automobile in the driveway. We could take things out and put them in the automobile and then take off and drive away. But what do you take with you? And she talked about it, and they took various kinds of things. But all that you have is going to be gone with the fire in a matter of a few hours. Well, as it happened in their case, and they were very, very thankful for that, different winds came and took the fire in a different direction. And so their house was spared. But I thought about that. If you lose everything, what are you going to take with you? I have all I need. By His gracious mercy, by His love, His grace, His all-sufficiency of the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid it all. And whatever happens, I'm looking for His coming or His calling. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, this church in Thessalonica, it was a wonderful church. They endured suffering. They welcomed the message. They spread it to regions around. And they were a model to the other churches. And now let us ask God to make our church that kind of church, beginning with me and beginning with you, and that we might be the men and women that God's called us to be in all love and care and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we move out in our communities and our families and the workplace and all that we have. Now, this church was a vital church, and I'm closing. It was vital. It had a vital faith expressed in good works. The love of Christ was energizing all that they did. And they were looking. In, as I said, in the Gospels, particularly Matthew 24, Luke 21, the writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of Peter and John, they all speak about looking for Jesus to come. We ought to be looking. And he or she that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The Apostle John speaks about it in his first letter. And he speaks about the joy in chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as he is pure. May God grant that for me and for you in this coming year as we wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we work and wait and serve and love and let the fruit of the Spirit flow through us this year, whether Jesus comes now or 500 years from now. But we're his people and we serve him. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit energizes the word and makes it real in our lives. Your word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And Lord, I thank you for your work and for your love for the Holy Spirit working in the lives of the believers here in fellowship at Fairlawn. And Lord, I pray that you will have your way in each of our lives. As we pray, may we pray in faith, believing. And Lord, you know our hearts, and you know those matters of concern to us that we've been praying for a long time. And it seems nothing ever changes in some of those situations. But Lord, may we know that you care and that you are able. And that whether we ever see the completion, whether we ever see the answer, you in the future may bring those things to pass. We think particularly of loved ones, family members that we pray for. And it seems that year after year, nothing ever changes. But Lord, you are able. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you hear the prayers of your people. And we pray for those loved ones and friends that we bring before you on a regular basis. And now, Lord, as we move from this year to a coming year, we just ask for your direction, for your help. We ask that we desire above all else to be walking in the Spirit, showing the love and compassion of Christ to others. And Lord, speak to us individually regarding our own lives. If there's some things in our lives that need to be changed, Lord, may the Holy Spirit reveal it to us and then give us your grace and show us the way that we would at all times be walking in the Spirit, accomplishing your goodwill and purpose. And Lord, we thank you for the teaching and preaching of the word and for the leadership here at Fairlawn. Lord, I pray that you'll continue in this upcoming year to guide and direct each one, give wisdom at every point. And Lord, help us to be with bringing our family members together and those that be in our neighborhoods and our workplace and all those we have contact with, that we'd share the gracious and merciful Lord Jesus Christ with them, that they may too know the forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, go with us now, this day and through this week. May Jesus Christ be glorified in our lives, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.